Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 238, part 1, What Wedding Garment? Today is Friday, March 16th, 2012.
Tonight's tape is entitled, What Wedding Garment? Question mark. You know, we're in an age of separation here. We're all going to have to stand up and be counted. It's coming. I've been watching TV and watching these debates and political debates. And you know, either Christians are going to come out in the open or they'll hide. One or the other. And what we say, we believe, will be challenged. So easy to say, I believe this or I believe that. But then when there's a price tag on it, when it's going to cost us something. Are you listening on the radio? When it's going to cost us something, when we have to come out in the open, when we have to make a verbal confession that may endanger our job, our livelihood, or where we stand. Yeah, we're coming into a time when our faith will be tried instead of this popular pastime of many who sit and put God's word on trial. See, it's popular now to put God's word on trial. Well, Lord, you said, and we're always challenging God. Have you ever thought of it that way? See, our faith that God gave us is to be challenged by God to see where it's at, by fire. And it seems like it's just the opposite. Everyone else, it seems like everybody and his uncle is trying God's word. Lord, you said, and furthermore, and so on. No, what we confess is going to be tried. The Bible says, as if by fire. And so it's going to do a complete turnaround here. Well, everybody's vying for positions there, like I said prior to the message, for political gain. We evangelicals, and I'll call us, let's just call it the charismatic movement and the whole evangelical sector, the born-again sector. And then there's evangelicals, some of us that we don't use that term, but we believe in being born again. And the charismatic movement are going to join together. And that's all right, and that's good. But for what reason? And then there's going to be another side over here of those that cannot stand to hear that terminology, you must be born again, joining together. And like I said, all for a political gain. To put that person in there, to put the one we want in there for a different issue, for some kind of another horse. And the scene right now is ripe for the Antichrist. No, it's going to take a sacrifice. Are you ready, you listening on the radio, you hear tonight, ready to sacrifice for Jesus Christ's cause? Psalm 50 and 15 says, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me, and then it goes on, by sacrifice. Are you willing to make a sacrifice? At that final hour, everybody's going to be tested, it says, as if by fire. And all those who have made outward sacrifices will have done so in vain. It says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we always think of, okay, now you guys are all going to have to bow down. Everybody is going to bow down. Saint and sinner, everyone is going to bow down. and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because even the people that have received Jesus, is He Lord over their life? I mean, is there something that you can't give up in your life to go on with what God has given you to do? Because it wouldn't be popular to do that. No, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I wonder how many of our sacrifices will be with salt. One done out of love and one done out of devotion. Now that doesn't mean you just lamby pie around all day and just look like you're the most loveliest thing in the world. No, there's such a thing as being honest. But I think we need to basically, and for the most part, reach out to others. We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before. Don't worry about sounding corny. It's almost like the gospel is old news. Well, it's the good news. It's the new news. Because you know why? There's a lot of people that don't know whether they have on the wedding garment or not. What wedding garment they're going to have? What are you talking about? We're so busy preaching, well, you're not born again. There's some churches even preach you're not born again if you don't speak in other tongues. What's that got to do with being born again? Where has the main issue gone? There are some that are elevating the gifts over the giver. Well, don't you believe in the gifts? Of course. But I think a lot of time we have to look at the fruit of being born again. And I believe the fruit, in fact I know, the fruit of the Spirit is when people go to work. Because it's something the flesh doesn't want to do. So it's got to be a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of our flesh. We don't want to do those things. We don't want to go to work. We don't want to reach out and touch someone in the flesh. We don't want to do that. And so actually, a fruit of the Spirit, now I know there'll be argument on this, but I think we need to get down to the basics on it. And I can get into all the gifts and all of this, but I'm talking about a real... Well, when Jesus comes, will He find faith anywhere on this planet, it says? Will He find any workers in the harvest? Well, now that's really a fruit of the Spirit, because the flesh doesn't want to do it, don't you see? Well, we like to get into groups and we like to talk about the harvest. We like to talk about, we like to envision things, but to actually get down, knuckle down, buckle down, windsocky, we don't want to do it. And so we need to preach this gospel so people will know whether they're saved or not. Some are going to ask us, well, what does this wedding garment look like? How do I get one? I want you to listen to something here. We talked about fear the last few weeks here, I think on Friday nights. Worry and fear. I know a little fear is good. It causes people to check themselves out. You ever go someplace, go to a regular wedding, well, you're fearful you might not have everything just right, so you go check out your garment. Check out the little flower here to see if it's tilted just right. Check out the suit, check out the garment, check out the shoes, check out the socks, check out the garters that hold up the socks, check out everything. Shouldn't we have a little fear over the wedding garment? I think it's better to be afraid of being wrong than to be indifferent to what we are. So if someone out there listening doesn't know for sure if they're born again, I think they need to check it out. I myself would be afraid to do what some are doing or what they're not doing. People all over are giving up their calling. So to give up your calling, really, in my way of thinking, for any excuse is no excuse. Well, I don't want to have on a wedding garment because my friends will laugh. And I find that among the very best saints, there are many who are deeply anxious as to their state before God. They don't have that blessed assurance. Why? Because they don't know that it's a total grace message. But then we have some who have no fear. The Bible says one day they'll be cast out of the banquet hall. I was reading this story. I picked up this book and opened it up. It was a little nursery book. And it was easy reading. It was about the three little pigs. How many have read that story? And I thought, you know what? This has got a lot of sense to it. There's a lot of scripture in this thing. Are you hearing this? This makes a lot of sense. How many are hearing this? One little pig built his house out of stubble. Another one out of straw, another one out of bricks. One was prepared. Shouldn't we be prepared? Shouldn't we be in a state of expectation right now? Wow. Solomon says, "Happy is the man that feareth always." Psalm 112 in verse 1 goes like this, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." And I think in the 111th Psalm, and that would be the last verse, I believe, it says, it's the beginning of wisdom. So you just start to get smart after you fear God. Actually, God doesn't want you to walk around in fear. For the Bible says fear knows torment. There's only one thing you have to fear, and that's the Lord. Why is that? Because if you have a fear of the Lord, then you're going to listen to the Lord. It's just like your parents. You don't fear your parents. Go someplace. Get out of my face, you old man. Or you old mom, go on. Same way with the Lord. You don't fear Him, you're not going to obey Him. Why did you obey your parents? Because you knew you had to. And then after a time, you didn't want to hurt them, so you just obeyed them out of love. But to start with, you didn't want... Do your kids want to obey you always? Debbie? Does your little one want to obey? Sue? Hardly ever. It's a rarity when they do want to obey you. Isn't that right? Oh, but when mama comes out there, what did I tell you? Ooh. Then they agitate the gravel, don't they? What does that mean? That means they start scratching gravel. So there is a blessed man that fears the Lord. There's a blessed fear. Pretty dumb to fear man over God, isn't it? Man's opinions. Sometimes we're so fearful of people's opinions that we disobey God. Bible says to know to do good and do it not is evil, sin. But anyway, this particular kind of person will stay close to God. He will cling to God, it says in the Bible. It also says this will make him happy. He'll not play with faith like he's playing break the bank or stock market. What's that game where they put these little things on there and you go all the way around on there? Is that Monopoly? Some people think they have a monopoly on God. No, he won't run the risk of being presumptuous. He'll check out his garments before entering into the feast. And I hope you out there that don't know for sure, don't have that blessed assurance that you make sure that you're properly clothed, because there is a time coming on of great, great confusion. There's a time coming on when the Church of Christ will be ridiculed, and some of it has some basis from what's going on. From all the shim sham and all of the political things that we're seeing on TV, and all of the carnival activity that we're seeing going on, and so on and so on, and a very perilous hour. Well, don't you think that Christians should be involved in politics? Well, go on down and vote. I don't think we should spend an hour every day on TV talking about politics and the world condition. The Bible tells us what's going to happen to the world. What's ever going to happen to the world? The world's going to hell. That's all you need to know. And then you start preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it says it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. Why don't we believe that? I wonder. I know that the gospel is more powerful than any two-edged sword when you practice what you preach. When people can see something happening. When you feel in your own spirit that there's a work being done. Something's happening. Something that you can lay your hands on. Something you can see physically. And I know a lot of groups are against seeing anything. Oh, we don't go by sight. Yeah, well, they want to see that Cadillac outside that door at 3 in the afternoon that they claimed the week before on next Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They want to see all that, and that's just where they're at. They're really the ones that want to see everything. So I think tonight we need to assure and maybe reassure some people. They need to know what the wedding garment is. And you know what? Some will discover that they are wearing it already, much to the amazement of a whole bunch of legalists. Many are wearing a wedding garment. Someone told them, okay, now we have to take the wedding garment away from you. We have to take away your salvation because you fell. Well, there's a song, always falling down, always falling down. Huh? Da, da, da. Always falling down, always falling down, always falling down. Whoops, there, oh, I go again. Huh? Now, I don't know about you, but I know I go 2 steps forward and 14 back. Oh, wow, what a thing. No, I'm talking about our motives and our real hidden motives and so on like that. They come up. I'm not talking about open, overt sin. Talking about you're in a sinful body. I'm talking about you take 2 steps ahead, and those are all of God and none of yourself, because you don't want to go ahead anyway. And you go 14 back, and God keeps track of those 2 ahead. And that's where some people thought, well, now I'm just lost now. And there's a lot of people right down here. I know right on the north side right down here. You know, they've come to Christ years ago, and someone told them they weren't born again. Now you're not born again. You're non-existent. You do not exist. They're walking around, and they have on a wedding garment and don't even know it. That are more open in their preaching of the gospel than the modern-day charismatic is. They preach Christ, and they preach, well, I know I'm not right with God, and so on like that. I'm a sinner. Does that remind you of some story that's in the Bible? Matthew 22 and 11 through 13, and listen to it. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me add verse 14 to that. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so this then is the conclusion drawn from the whole parable. Here is, I believe, a process at work which separates the chosen few from the many who are called. First, we have here the invited guests. It says they were called. And right here and right there was a distinction made. The simple delivery of the invitation. To deliver the invitation. Isn't that hard for some of us to do sometimes to others? See, that made all the difference between the loyal and the rebellious. A distinction I'm talking about. A clear, marked, decisive distinction. And this is the way it is with preaching the gospel. You don't add one dot or one tittle or subtract anything from it, none whatsoever. You preach it to all that you can. Broadcast it all that you can with all your heart. Preach it lovingly. Preach it tenderly. Preach it earnestly. And we call all men to the royal feast of grace. We let them know that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is by the grace of God. How many are hearing this? Brother, please don't do this again tonight. Just sit down, please. And so this ingathering invitation immediately begins to gather out the precious from the vile. You see, the pure, not watered down gospel preaching is very discriminating. You can always tell the Cains from the Abels as soon as sacrifice is the subject. That's where the separation comes between the men and the boys. Now, that's the world saying, isn't it? The Cain and the Abels. Look what I've done, Lord, talk. That kind of talk. I've gave up being very successful for you, Lord, but was it worth it? Some are so worried about being successful. And even when they come to Christ, their main worry is being successful. Well, Lord, according to your word, and they put everything they have into being successful, and that's where we fail. And then you go ahead and preach salvation by grace, and you will find that some will not want it at all. And some will postpone all consideration of it. Others have unending questions, so you just preach it and go on. Don't answer all them questions. But what if? And I mean, what if? And how about Buddha? And how about this? And how about that? And so on and so on. Don't get into that. I know nothing about Buddha. I just know it's a great big clay thing with a great big gut hanging out over a wrapped around up in towels or something like that and a diaper on, and that's about it. That's all I know about Buddha. That's all I care to know about him. It's an idol. And put that word out there. Say, well, have no other gods before me. That's the gospel, and here's the Bible right here. And you either take it or you leave it. I'm not going to argue whether Buddha is God. I know he isn't God. You should know that too. Pick him up, drop him on the floor, see what happens to him. Throw gasoline all over it. Watch it melt. No, I'm not going to get into those kind of conversations. Well, are all these people, a guy came the other day and said, well, I mean, are all these people wrong? I mean, you know, we're all going to the same place. I says, that's not true. Everybody isn't going to the same place. Some are going to heaven, some are going to hell. Ones that receive Christ are going to heaven. The ones that won't receive Him are going to hell. Now, you can take Buddha down to hell with you. You can just, you know, when you're going down on the elevator, you just hold on to your Buddha and go straight down. Or Rev Moon or whatever. No, there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I think it's time that we start to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so many nowadays are making light of the gospel. And even in our churches, divisions are made. Splits are coming. His fork is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor. You know where He uses the whip the most? Right in His temple. Among the sheep and the goats, among the virgins and the foolish ones, the Bible says. Among the guests at the wedding feast, are there those there that have the wedding garment on and some don't? So right there where they're at, that's where He's going to catch them. And I think self-examination is in order. Every day, get up and examine yourself. Well, you do that in the natural, don't you? Get up and you examine yourself, you look at, oh, God, another gray one. Huh? Better get some more Grecian formula and cover that up. Oh, wow. You go to extremes examining yourself. You open your mouth up like you're some kind of a horse and look at your molars in there and check yourself out. Huh? And dental floss yourself for a couple of minutes, you know what I mean? Trim your toenails, trim your fingernails, make your hair, look in the mirror in the back, and just go to all kinds of extremes to look good. Why not examine yourself in Christ? Why not, when you're looking in the mirror, say, now I've checked you out in the natural, now let's go for the spiritual now, Charlie boy. What'd you do for the cause of Christ today? Did you do anything? Do you want to do anything today? And know that the flesh won't like that because it's already got itself all primped up for the world. Are you hearing this? So I think we need to go ahead. It says in the Bible, one of you here is going to betray me. I think we ought to examine ourselves so we don't become one of those that betrays Christ. And so in this parable, we have a man who has hearkened to the invitation and came to the feast. So number one test was passed. And yet he fails with the second screening. He's received by the servants, but he can't deceive his master. What does the world say? You can fool some of the people some of the time. How's that go? But not all the people all the time. And so the king spots him right over there. He spots him. And it says he has him thrown out into utter darkness. And so now I've raised a few questions here. Number one, what does it mean? What does that mean? The king's coming in. What does that mean? When the king came in to see the guests? And secondly, another question. What is the wedding garment? And yet there's a third one. Who is the one who doesn't have it? I think these all are good questions, don't you? And again, why did he stand speechless when he was asked, how comest thou hither not having a wedding garment? Why, how come he didn't have nothing to say? And so then number one, starting it out here, what is meant by the king's coming in? It says the king came in to see the guests. And I suppose they were reclining at tables. The wedding, it says, was furnished with guests. Isn't that a good way to put it? Furnished with guests. A lot of times, you know, we go for the decor in a house and we furnish it. But it's no good without guests there. It's no good if there's nobody living in it. What good is the dumb dome sitting all winter with no people in it? When people want to come and see the mission, they say, well, we can't come at noontime because they want to go out to eat someplace and then come down after they eat and come in. I said, no, the time to come is when there's guests here. Everyone that comes to Disciples Ministry Church Mission comes as a guest. They are waited on. Did you ever think of it that way? When we have Senior Citizens Day, they come as guests. We invite them in. What good would it be if there was, you know, we didn't serve anybody? What good is the church that doesn't serve anyone? No, we have to furnish it with guests. And what do you do when a guest comes? You serve them. We're servants. This is something that we have to get used to, Christians listening on the radio, that we are servants and we have to furnish the house with guests. There's probably someone listening right now on the radio, maybe somebody that's with great wealth, millionaires, that have huge homes and there's nobody in them. Nobody in them. What good is that house without guests? What good is all of that money without inviting someone in to a feast? What good is all of this preparing for war and all of this unless we take care of the people that we have right now? What good is a party without guests furnished? We're so busy furnishing our houses and furnishing this and furnishing that and all the decor and so on. And then we only have certain ones that we want to come over. Certain ones that we want to come and sit down on our little Davenports and our little chairs and have tea and crumps with us. Only certain ones that can partake with us. Well, they can fool those people, but they can't fool a master. Do you think there's a lot of them that come in the mission? Why do they come in the mission? Why are we getting this new computer ready right now so that we can send out invitations for people to come in to the feast, to the groceries, to the, hot dishes that I'm going to be manufacturing. We'll be manufacturing here to these soups and stews that God has grown, the feast. Ooh. But isn't it the same way with the church? We gather. But you see, the greatest thing in our coming is when the Lord manifests himself to us. And the greatest thing for the people downstairs is when the Lord manifests himself through the workers in that place. They say, well, now this, they sit down at the table and I've watched them. I've watched the melding of hard, sometimes hard, cold people melt down. And they're sitting there and they're becoming persuaded. Not that we're all perfect, not that we're lamby-pying around and all that. That's just not my nature. I'm sorry, it is not my nature. I've tried it and it doesn't work with me. But that we're there and we're there to serve. And that people are guests and they are served. And you know what's happening now? People want to become servants and they're getting up from their tables. Today I said, hey, anybody in here, let's get up. Let's stack these chairs in stacks of four. Hey, it wasn't 15 minutes. The whole dining area was stacked up and pushed against the wall, and the place was swept, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everything was done. Is that a teaching? Some would say no, that they'd have to sit down. Oh, we love to sing, we love to hear the word, but when his presence is known, whoo! When he is high and lifted up. How do you lift up Jesus? When you are a servant to his people. when you are a servant to the so-called misfits and the low, base, perverted things of the world, that confounds the wise. That's when you lift up Jesus. When you sense His presence. Sometimes you sense His presence and a godly anger will happen. That happened to me last week. You know how I know it's godly anger? When you don't feel guilt afterwards. When someone is defeating the cause of Christ and is coming in and looking like they have on Christ's garment, and they come in and they start to rip and tear and destroy. Right in God's temple, this time to tell, I just told the fellow, I said, look, fella, you've been coming in for 3 years, and you've been nothing but trouble. Let me put it to you simple. Get out. Is that plain enough? See, we have guests in here, and you're upsetting all of the guests. But isn't it beautiful when we sense His presence? When the King is present, when all the little kids are down there, hi, 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 little teeny kids down there, 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, are sensing the presence of the Lord. And the place is furnished with guests that God has brought in. When the King is present, when the demonstration of His Spirit reveals power. And that's when you see souls saved. When you see people convicted and people set free and people healed in their mind and in their bodies. Because don't you know His presence brings sort of a beautiful, a heavenly happiness. Know how beautiful when the Lord is near. And you know when He's near? Did you ever notice, did you ever wonder out at those runs with all of those people, how there is so much order in that? Who's there? 800-900 people coming. Who's there to keep that beautiful order? And half of the people don't even speak English. Thais and Hmongs and Cambodians. People from India and Africa and all over. A lot of them, they don't speak any English at all. And yet, there is a unity and there's a line and there's people going through and there's no fighting. Who's in charge? Wow, but when the Lord is gone, how sad that is. And in some assemblies, they have no King, no Savior, no Lord. They don't even mention Jesus. See, when the Lord is gone, it's just dead ritualistic things, isn't it? Motions, people going through the motions. Huh? What's motions? Emotions is just going through ritual. Just going through rituals. Going da 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 da. Sounds like Morse code to me. When nothing's being done. And we just sat in a sort of a dead, ritualistic, motionless nothing. We don't furnish any kind of a comfort. When we sort of, let's say, hoist our sails and there's no wind, we drift around bored. When we bring our sacrifice, but there is no fire. And it rots. And so listen, when the wedding would have been a failure without the guests, what would there have been without a host? What if all the guests come and there's nobody there to serve them? How about that? How about inviting people in and furnishing it and then not have Jesus? Isn't that sad? Isn't that tremendously sad? Not only sad, isn't that boring? Can you imagine for a moment Having a feast and not having the host, not having Jesus there. But it says in due time, the king came in among the vagabonds, those that did come, because they went, you know, and they put the invitation out. No one would come. They were all busy and they made excuse. Among the vagabonds, and vagabonds means wanderers. You remember that song, Wandering? Among the bums, tattered colts, unkempt hair, unshaven, unbathed, holes in the seats of their pants, lamb's fats on their beards. And then Jesus comes in at one moment's notice. He just comes in, and they had come in at a moment's notice. Can you come to the feast? Sure, what is it? They didn't have nothing to make excuse about. Well, there's going to be a feast over there. And at a moment's notice, that whole place, the whole banquet hall, was filled with guests. And in the end, when no one will come to the feast because they're too into this or they're too into that or too into something, in a moment's notice, it says in the end, you know, people are going to go to Christ like, if we'll preach the gospel here, we can start it right now. And so at a moment's notice, the whole place, the whole banquet hall was filled up with the low base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise, the vagabonds, the bums, the tattered coats, the unshaven, the unkempt, the toothless goons. From the highways, it says, and from the byways. It says, go to ye to the highways and the byways and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and bring him in. And they sat there sort of cautiously eating all these fine foods. I see new people come into the mission and you set a plate before them. Some of these people are coming from all over now. God, they're coming from suburbs. A couple come in today and they said, Pastor, we don't have any. You ask them for their, Steve asked them for their address. And they said, well, we don't have an address. We live in a car. And so they says, Pastor, we live in a car. I said, well, put your license plate number down there. And I says, don't feel bad about it. I said, my brother years ago rode home and he put down Loring Park. Bench 4. How many have been to Loring Park, Bench 4? Never slept on a bench? You haven't lived yet. It really makes you appreciate a bed, let me tell you. Are you hearing this? I mean, his presence crowned the festival with honor, not only honor, but rapture. His coming in indicates a glorious revelation of himself. That's so revealing when we think of Jesus. He comes in to the banquet hall with all of these so-called misfits, cast-outs. Isn't that revealing? One is tending to his cow, and one is tending to his lamb. One is tending to his wife, it says. Oh, I can't come because I have to go home. I got to be with my wife. Oh, I can't go. I got this land to check. I just bought it today. And I got to go check it out. At midnight? At evening? I mean, it's dark out. Why didn't you check it out before you bought it? Can you possibly, for in your wildest imagination, imagine all those highways and byways people seeing the king? The king of all glory and all power? I bet there was a hush in that audience. I bet all them lips stopped smacking on that lamb. And I bet a lot of ragged old clothes were poking and shaking and poking each other in the ribs. Shh! It's the Lord. The who? Shut up. It's the Lord. Now you see, to see Jesus brings great joy. It says in the Bible, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 238, part 1. Be sure to listen to part 2 on Sunday. Have a great weekend, a safe St. Patrick's Day, and God bless you.